Welcome back to the channel, guys. It's your average otaku, aka Wakil, and today we are going to be discussing the episode 4 of Nobliss and episode 4 of Jujutsu Kaisen. And then, of course, towards the end, probably give you some recommendations to start reading. And also, we're going to discuss the second trailer for Demon Slayer of Mugen Train. First, let's hop into Nobliss. I actually just finished watching this before the recording. I'm really getting invested, and I've made a complete effort not to read it because I do not want to be how I felt basically towards God of High School. I read all of God of High School, and ultimately I walked away satisfied but disappointed in certain things. But this one so far has been like surprising me everywhere. I thought that the lack of assertion in the main character, or him even being a main character, I guess you can see that he's holding back and he's hiding power, and like they're trying to protect his existence. But like, it was getting a little old, episode 2, but then episode 3 you got to see a little bit for the two new Nobliss people. And they were showing some promise. And then in this episode, one of the characters actually showed that he has been holding back a lot. But the moment we saw it, it practically got taken away because of hostages. So I'm really getting interested in it. Gave me a few laughs, especially the part where M21 basically asked for ramen when he wants food. That was I called it, like, as soon as the line came, I was like, he's going to ask for ramen. It has to be. But overall, like, the series is really growing on me. I didn't think I would be this interested being week to week and wanting the next episode. The schedule is a little off kilter the way I watch all my animes, but it does have me looking for it consistently. Things I really want to see happen, obviously. I hope next episode we at least get to see the girl fight. And we get to see the all powerful Nobliss. But hopefully we've seen it in glimpse, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people have been telling me that in the webtoon you actually get to see him in action a lot sooner. So I'm very, very looking forward to how they animate that. So far, the animation has been pretty decent. The fights haven't lasted long enough for me to say, like, it's amazing. Other than that, it's really consistent, strong character development so far. The little bromance between the hackers is pretty awesome, too. I really feel that that's going to be a relationship growth. The fact that now he's not awake, so they're both unconscious. But him seeing him there, I want to see what kind of influence he's going to do. And, of course, the backstory for the purple-haired dude, I can't remember his name right now. And, like, he could switch characters like that. That was kind of cool. The fact that he could act like a ditzy professor. And then the next minute be, like, this serious person. But, obviously, he has a care for children and women. And Shark has none. So that was pretty cool to see. I can see the hacker and the purple head turning on the organization and siding with the Nobliss at this point, because they're just doing things. Like, the purple head dude's only there because they have his sister. And in this episode, the hacker pretty much expressed that, or AKA Boss. He expressed the fact that he's surrounded by a bunch of idiots that's just ordering him around because of his talents. No one's really on his level, so when he met the student hacker, I'm gonna call him for now. It was really interesting to him. So that character development is gonna be pretty dope coming in for episode 5. Those are my critiques for as far as I want to say things I didn't like. It's keeping me coming back for more, but of course I'm not gonna say I like it. The fights, like, every time that there's something, they like take it away. Red haired dude be getting his hands up all day, every day. I really don't have any critiques for the episode. It was a solid episode. It set you up for next week, making you want more. So I'm very proud of that. But let's get into Jujutsu Kaisen. So week to week, I've been saying this, and I've read this manga. And it still feels like I'm watching it for the first time again, because if anyone's read the manga, everyone understands that the way it's drawn, it's really rough. Like, you would almost think it was a rough draft, but that's just the way it's drawn. And it's, to me, it's, like, beautiful. I don't know if anyone else has other problems, but this is a story that's being told to me almost for the first time, the way I'm watching it, because the way they drew it didn't look finished. It had its own like flavor to it because of that. But because it looks that way, when it's animated, it brings this whole new light. Like, normally my expectations for things that get animated are so high because of my imagination. But as far as this series go, my imagination wasn't, I don't even say if it was high or not. It was just, they're blowing me away slightly, like, with everything. Even the fight with the bear in episode, I guess it was 3. That was even, like really, like, different to me. Like, reading it did not do it justice. That animation was really well. MAPPA is definitely in their bag on this one, and they're doing work. Like, animation studio of the year, anyone, please, because they're doing their job. And they'll be 3 for 3 if Attack on Titan succeeds, even though I'm not a fan of that show as much. But if they do animation great, they'll be 3 for 3, and that'll be nice. But back to episode 4, obviously they get to this place where they're basically only supposed to investigate, right? And they get there, there's a chance that the yokai that's in this area is a special grade. So they automatically allude to, which is kind of a spoiler for people who've read it, but they allude to, like, special grades only being able to be handled by basically their teacher, person that pretty much puts them together, and he was off away somewhere. So their main goal was to get in to see things and see how it was, and then to report back. They get in and they immediately get locked away. We got to see more of Fushi. I'm just supposed to call him Fushi, but the dude with the spiky hair. We get to see a little bit more of his power and his bringing out his animals. So we got to see the hawk, we got to see the black dog after the white dog got smashed into a wall. That thing got completely taken out of the game. And Itadori is admiring him and everything, we still have yet to see. We kind of saw the girl's powers a little bit, and this time they allude to it more. Like, she has a little bit more to her, but when she runs out of nails, she's pretty much powerless. But obviously, we see where that's going later. But so finally they split up for some reason. It kind of like jumps. It gets to a part of the episode where they kind of jump back and forth. Like, it's weird. Like, they all get split up somehow. Like, it was, like, really jumpy this episode. And I don't remember how they got to certain areas. But I do remember when those two, Itadori and Fushigiro, or Fushi, I don't know if I'm saying the name wrong. I know I am. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. When Fushi and Itadori finally get into the area where the special grade demon is, they're like, this is the first time they've witnessed power like this. And the conflict in Itadori, and the, first of all, the voice acting was amazing, but the conflict in Itadori and the voice acting was so on par with, like, it brought that emotion. Like, whoever is voice acting, I gotta find it, but credit is due. He is doing his job really well, because first of all, to bring out that emotion in his character where, like, he pretty understands that he's about to die. Like, there is no way he was going to survive this being him. Like, and, like, he's doing the whole motions. He's trying to save time, but at the same time, he's questioning himself. understand, was he always this weak? You got to understand, like, this guy was always above average in everything that he did. So this is the first time he's being brought back to reality in some way. So it's like, yeah, your power was special on normal planes, but now it's like, this is a different game. And, like, even his reactions, like, his reaction is to help, to defend, and to attack. The moment he attacks, he loses a hand. I'm like, whoa. Like, obviously, we read it and we know what happens, but it's just, like, the subtleties and, like, the face expressions that they're animating from this man is, like, on point. Then, like, all that admiration for Fushi is, like, obviously, the main character comes on top and he's he's trying to wake him up slowly. Like, he's stuck just as he is stuck. He's like, he can't move. But the difference between him and Fushi is that Fushi's just saying he can't move. But Itadori is like, move, move. Like, he's almost forcing his body to get into a predicament where he can defend himself. And, like, that struggle between his mind and his body from the fear, not even just the fear, but the overwhelmness of power that the yokai has is crazy. So finally, they devise a plan. This is why I say the episode gets kind of jumpy, where he saves him just enough time to leave. So he goes to find the girl. And when we cut back to her, she's like on her last legs. She has like one nail left, and she done took out like 30 billion of these yokai masks that was in this place. And he finally gets him. But as this is happening, you see what's happening. Like, he's putting on a big front. He already has one hand lost. The yokai stolen blast at this man. Like, no one can believe he. And this is why I said the voice acting comes into place. You start to see his pain. Like, he's trying to hold back a blast, and he's literally losing all of his fingertips. Not his whole hand, his fingertips. He's telling you, like, he's describing how he's feeling the whole way it's going. It hurts. It hurts. It's crazy. Like I said, the voice acting in this scene was like really, man, it got me. What else? So right after that, obviously, I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but early into the episode, he was asking if he could bring him out, if he could bring out the demon that he's suppressing. And it's like, he basically tells straight up, nope. And he says, and if you do, I'm going to kill your friend over there. So that's where he gets the plan. He's like, I want you guys to leave. So if you guys are far enough, he'll handle this demon and I can suppress him again. So that's the plan. Finally, he gives me a signal. So he gets the signal that was the howling wolf. He sees the wolf in the wall and he's like, oh, so that was the howl that he gave before. So he literally just, he actually has a, you finally see this, like, this whole time that he's fighting the yokai, he has this sense of fear. He has this, like, he knows he's going to die. The moment he hears it, it was relieving, and he let his suppression off of the demon. So he comes out, and you would think that, like, in this moment, you'll get the superhero music and, like, this was going to happen. But it kind of different. Like, it was a good thing, because I was expecting, like, the superhero music. Like, even in Naruto, like, the fox wasn't a good thing until later. Like, when he came out, it was a problem. Like, yeah, he would still take care of the enemy, but it wasn't like he was conscious. Like, the fox was not completely conscious over Naruto's body. This one is much different. Like, as soon as he takes control, he's conscious, he's aware, he's intelligent, everything. So he gets, the moment he comes out, he's like, oh, this brat. Like, he's literally talking about, like, how stupid he is. And he's like, oh, all right, I'm gonna go kill these people. And he taps him on the shoulder, and then the yokai tries to attack him. But before the yokai tries to attack him, he is literally trembling in fear of him. But he still decides to attack him, which is what I'm trying to say. Some special grade demons, this is where he is separated from all the other special grade. Like, they call him a special grade, but this, the special grade that Itadori was fighting before he let the demon take over was not intelligent. He was just literally pure for the thrill. Like, he was having fun doing this to them, right? As soon as Itadori lifted his suppression, The face, this is the only time he kind of understood the situation he was in. Like, it was no longer fun. It was like he was fighting for his survival. So he attacks him. He attacks basically Itadori, and he literally stops the blast while regenerating the hand that Itadori lost. I cannot stress this enough. The animation for that scene in general, where he's like, Baka, and lifts his hand, no hand being there, and the bubbles and everything just come out, and it forms the hand so fast, and he literally just deflects the blast. And then this was the Dragon Ball Z moment for me, where he literally just took his face, like normally what people would do to Vegeta, like with Broly in the Dragon Ball Super Broly movie, what Broly did to Vegeta into the iceberg. He literally took his face, dragged it along the mountains. This one, he literally took his face, smashed it into the floor, and then hit him again. And while it was falling, the demon tried to attack him. The dude is sitting on one of the rubbles going down with his arm in his hand, laughing. I'm like, what is this man's power scaling is ridiculous. And he only has two fingers. Two fingers. This man has 20. 20 to go. So finally, like, getting to the end of the battle, like, he's taking limbs from this dude. He regrows limbs. He's like, oh, so you can do that. And then he's just toying with this guy. He's like, what we thought was powerful in the beginning of the episode, which was the yokai that they were facing, and then the power of something that's just barely yet to, like, grow. Like, it's just two fingers, and he's showing immense power. Like, it's almost crazy. Like, the only person to even match that was the teacher. So, obviously, I'm pretty sure the teacher could have handled that special grade yokai. But now to see how strong he is past that yoke, it's like the power scaling in this is going to get very difficult in how they describe things going forward. And there's so much more to come. That being said, towards the end of the episode, which is like the real skin crawly part, was the dude literally slashes this man. And he said he wanted to do it in 3 slices, but he wound up slicing this dude in like 5 different ways. He's literally spread out like he was spaghetti. It was ridiculous. And he goes to him in the middle of his chest as a hole, and he takes out a finger. Doesn't eat it yet. He just takes out the finger, and he's done. And he gets this basically towards that, like, it falls on a cliffhanger, and it's just like, he's like, he's talking to Itadori. He's like, if you're going to take over, just do it already. Like, don't be annoying about it. And, like, for that second of what he understands that he can't. So the smile, the demon smile on this man's face was the most frightening thing I've seen in a really long time. It was like, it gave you chills, and was like, obviously in the third episode, they were like alluding to someone's going to die. And I'm pretty sure they're basically saying part of Itadori just died. And obviously we know the main character ain't going nowhere, so that's obvious he's going to come back some way. But that in itself was like just enough to show you, like, Sukuna with 2 fingers, a third in his hand, and obviously he's probably, his spirit is weakened right now. Like, I think the reason why he's able to suppress Sukuna is not only due to, like, his natural ability to hold him off, but it was his will. So I'm predicting that his feelings after letting go of that suppression over Sukuna was, he was weak, he wasn't strong enough to protect anyone. How is he supposed to do his grandfather any justice if he can't do anything, right? So if he left the suppression off in that state, which is why I feel like he can't suppress him anymore. It's a matter of will. Also, like, he's suppressing Sukuna with will at this point. His will, his brass, his knowledge of thinking that he's actually strong. That's what was suppressing him. So I want to see how he gets that back, because obviously soon they're going to have that little meeting in his freaking head at basically what he showed in the part where he was, like, malevolent shrine. So that is going to be, that's going to be a nice little interaction. So that'll be coming out pretty much next week. That was Jujutsu Kaisen. That was like probably amazing. Another, I just throw this in for fun. I didn't say it in the intro, but another thing that kind of surprised me was Boruto this week. So I've been on and off again with Boruto. I'm obviously a big Naruto fan, and trust me, I can say this for all day, it's nowhere near the original, but recently in certain episodes they've been giving me vibes of like early Naruto. So like the training between Kakashi and Boruto finally paid off. Boruto learns two new Rasengans, actually, and one was hidden from us, so that was pretty good. So compression, it was like, I don't know how many more Rasengans these people gonna make, but they're getting real creative. So I thought his was a compressed Rasengan because it was so small, but he actually compressed the Rasengan and made that power even more devastating. And he showed off his wind style version, which is pretty cool. I like the fact that it's small and it doesn't, he still has to use a second clone, which shows that he's a lot more advanced than Naruto was at that age. But I like, that was pretty cool. But my real strength for the episode is watching Sarada, because to me it's like Boruto's getting everything like Sasuke did in the beginning, right? Everything is pretty much like almost given to him to a certain point. We're supposed to believe Boruto's the main character, so it's like Naruto had to work for everything, but he was the main character, so he always prevailed in the fights. This was showing a bit of vulnerability where, like, Boruto loses fights, but he gains power easily, right? Naruto won fights, gained power easily, but it was a cost. The person that's fighting here and trying to obtain power is Sarada. So for the last two episodes, she's been training with her dad. She initially went there to learn Chidori. And first he basically told us, like, you have to level up your Sharingan, basically. And the only way to level up Sharingan is through emotion. Basically, that battle that she had, that she felt, if she was fully conscious, she probably could awaken it that way. But right now, I feel like she's, when she gets her full Sharingan, because obviously she will, when she gets her full Sharingan, and pretty much I'm pretty sure she's going to probably wind up getting her father's eyes at some point, she's going to probably be the most developed Uchiha ever, right? Because every other Uchiha, since their eyes are triggered by emotion, they don't really take time to learn their kumis and what they actually mean and what their limitations are when they don't have the extra kumis. So it's like Sasuke, he obviously learned later in life, like, okay, each kumi means something, but I feel like he learned that with his Rinnegan, because obviously we all know every kumi you have in your Rinnegan is a new power practically was getting closer to Kaguya, right? So we know Sasuke has 6 kumi in his Rinnegan, and for her to even use Chidori, she needs at least 2 in one eye, at least, right, to use Chidori. Sasuke winds up getting, he has, we all remember versus Haku, my friend had to correct me on this because I wasn't sure. When he went up against Haku, I thought that he had 2 in both eye, right? That's actually not the case. He had 2 in one when he went up against Haku, and then he had still 1 in the other. I always thought it was just cut off by his, like, when his eyes were always half open. Looking back, he really only had 1 and 2, and then he eventually got 2 and 2 when he went to officially learn the Sharingan after he then copied Rock Lee's Taijutsu. So she, however, Sarada knows the basics. She knows Taijutsu. She knows everything. She's smart, but what's lacking is her development of her Sharingan because she hasn't gone through anything. So this is where I get back to my point of saying she's probably going to be the most developed Uchiha with her Aijutsu because she's going through her stages slowly. If you think about Itachi, if you think about pretty much every Uchiha, they gain their Sharingans very early because they witness horrors. So Itachi, he witnessed war at a very young age, so his Sharingans were blessed very early. because of the hurt and pain that he went through. Sasuke, he activated his Sharingan very early. Also, when he activated his first Kumi when his brother left the village. Emotion, right? And then next is Haku and other situations. So it's just they were in constant war and battle and not really being protected within their own village. So in this age of peace, I feel Sarada's going to get a chance to understand her Sharingan at a point where no one else probably will. So she's going to learn and develop each Kumi. So in this episode, she's pretty much trying to prove to her mother that she's capable of doing this vigorous training to get this, because her mother's very concerned that she's not strong enough and that she's pushing herself too far, right? And they have this age of peace. It's not something that they really need to do, which even though this piece is about to come to an end, hopefully. And so she's having concerns. So she basically gives her three chances to do something. And I'm by far, this is probably the most boss moment Sakura's had since the episodes where she was fighting against the clone Uchiha, and then before that, Sasori. So finally, like, she's putting on a show, beating her daughter like to smithereens. We understand that she has now. We understand in this episode she has a lack of chakra control, which I didn't know that Sakura had that great of chakra. It's true. She did have you have to have a good chakra control when you're a medic ninja. So yes, she has great chakra control, and this is where she's trying to teach Sarada. The more chakra control she has, the better she'll be at using it and displaying it and all this other stuff. So she starts to show her, like, okay, she does have a little bit of a mother, and when she smashes the floor, she assimilates chakra into her hand, but the moment she releases it is too early, is not right on point, so she has less destructive power. Her mother shows it, and, like, she doesn't have any skips between her movements and anything, so it's basically just showing, like, the improvement and that she can actually get better. So the way she would get better is obviously chakra control. So finally, she at the end of this episode, she does not unlock. They keep focusing on her eyes, teasing us that it's going to pop up. But instead of doing that, what they're doing is they're showing that she's learning things pretty much how Sasuke learned it too. Because Sasuke was very smart, but he was given power, but then he was defeated. So he was humbled immediately after, right? This was her first time really being humbled in a sense where she was utterly powerless. And so in this moment where she's like fighting her mom, instead of like the way Sasuke was fighting Rock Lee, he copied it by mistake. And then used it later, like on first glance, she copied the output of her mother's chakra flow. This is something I haven't seen even Sasuke do. So from the amazing series, so the learning more about what the Sharingan can actually do, so she was literally focusing on the flow of her chakra, which is what I thought the Byakugan did a little better than that, but obviously they can still see it, so she's like seeing how much she's assuming, and she just copied it to that point, exhausted her, but she's doing it that way. So pretty much the way she's gaining more powers now, she's going to start using her copying ability more until her Sharingan develops. So I feel at every stage, she's going to max out every Kumi that she has, which is why eventually when she does get to her Mangekyo Sharingan, and funny thing, she asked about it and Sasuke refused to tell her at this point, but which obviously foregoes the future that obviously one day he's going to give up his eyes to his daughter. And so I feel that right now, the way she's going, she'll have the most developed eyes among all of them, because every other thing, the emotion that the things that trigger them can skip certain eyes, like in Obito. Obito had no Sharingan, and then he wound up getting two and two. And Sasuke, he had one when his brother left. Then he got two and one. Then he got two and two. Then he got three. And that was how it went for every emotional trigger that he had in life. So for Sarada, she's not having it. Like, the first emotional thing had to do with her dad, and I feel like this is where we already know how her Sharingan is going to develop in real time is pretty much she probably won't activate Mangekyo until her father dies or something happens to Naruto. And those are the two people in her world that are like plateaus right now. Like those are like the people that she looks up to. Same thing pretty much goes for Boruto. I feel like his Byakugan won't activate until that. Because we already know that he winds up getting it in the first episode and everything. So that would be pretty dope. Those are my three episodes this week that really caught my eye. I'm really looking forward to next week, seeing how things play out. Probably won't be getting into Boruto because this is probably the height of it for me. I'll probably be watching it up until she activates her second Kumi so she can learn Chidori. And the recommendations for reading, let's stick with Boruto. The manga is pretty much amazing at this point to me. It's just disappointing to see that the anime is just like that far behind. Like it's really far behind. Like I know we were always like half an arc, sometimes a full arc ahead of Naruto, but it feels like we're almost two whole arcs ahead, but it's not based on the actual arcs because they're in the arc that we're in. They're just not progressing anywhere. It sucks. Like it's really bad. And I understand that they're trying to get character development, but then what was all the academy for? Like the academy was put extra long, like put so much effort into, and I feel like you got really much nothing out of it. And so that was that. But the manga in itself is pretty amazing. I don't want to spoil anything for that. That's something you really do have to watch. I'm surprised to see that our old characters still have some gears to them. Another thing I'm reading, obviously, Jujutsu Kaisen has gotten, like, really, really, really serious. Like, the last two were, like, pretty crazy. I've still been reading Solo Leveling. That they're finally getting to a part where it's not just overpoweredness anymore. He's going back to the beginning and, like, finding the root of his power. So that's pretty interesting. I'm waiting for that to continue. God of High School finally getting to the point where Mori needs to get his power back because this is crazy. I've never seen Mori. Well, you've seen Mori weak, but it wasn't for long. This feels like he's had his power gone for a long, long time, and he's like slowly going, which is a good thing because by the like, Dewey keeps saying is like he had all that power and no training and control of his basics. Now he has almost ultimate control of his basics. And if he gets that power, he'll be so much more of a force to be reckoned with at this point. Something else to read. Really waiting for Tower of God to come back. He took a real long vacation and it's starting to bother me. Even going back to read old stuff. Really want to see what happens after that. I don't even know what else. What else am I missing? Is it wrong to pick up girls in the dungeon? I actually been watching that. This season, I feel like the story is a whole lot better. Obviously, like he always gets nerfed in the beginning. Like he's not as powerful as he is towards the end. But the one thing that's been like intriguing me is like I haven't seen any of the other characters that we've normally seen by now. And that's worrying me. So I feel like they're going to be, obviously, it's almost being set up for the Hestia Familia to be against everyone at this point. So I'm really looking forward to that. That seems like it got a really good storyline to that. But other than that, it's pretty much it. It's a really slow week for me. But glad to be back. And I'm going to keep bringing this content. Thank you guys for listening. And I'll see you next week. The Average Otaku out. You guys thought I forgot about Mugen Train. Nah, I definitely did. So for Mugen Train, it really has me excited. One last shout out to Demon Slayer. They actually broke a nice record going into this. It was just pretty much crazy. So I think they did 10 billion yen in over the weekend, which is pretty dope. It goes to show that this movie is pretty much gonna be amazing. But the trailer that they showed for Demon Slayer was utterly amazing. I cannot express how great it is. So please go watch that. And now officially, I am out. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Catch you later. Or if it's Average Otaku, out.